God is so faithful. He's so good. He has good things in store for us. All right, we've been in a series called Strong in Spirit. And this, I believe is number 7 in that series. Let's look on your sheet. We're going to review a few scriptures, hook up with where we were last time and go forward. Luke 2:40. It says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." This is talking about Jesus. The child grew and became strong in spirit. You know that we can become strong over time. None of us are where we're going to be. We're not going to, hopefully, if we're going in the right direction, we're not as strong today as we will be in a decade, as we will be in 15 years. We can grow stronger. We can grow more spiritual, stronger in spirit. So it's a process. It's okay that you see things in the Word and it's all not completely working just like you would like it to work today. That's okay. That you see a truth, you see a standard, and maybe you don't measure up, because that's the truth of all of us. None of us is complete, has arrived here on this earth. The only one that's perfect, that's ever walked the earth, is Jesus himself. The rest of us, we have flaws. That's not a bad confession, that's just the truth. Ask your neighbor. Ask your spouse. Ask the people that live with you. We know we have flaws, right? We have strengths. You don't have to focus on the flaws, but if we're going to say we don't have any, we're deceived. Well, I don't have any weaknesses anywhere. Well, there's one right there. We just identified one. It's called pride. It's ignorance. No, Jesus is the only one that's perfect. He's our target. He's our standard. But, you know, if you focus on all the things you haven't arrived at yet, man, you just get depressed right away. That's not God. God's not going to heap on you condemnation for all the things that you haven't done. That's not the Lord. Let me ask you a question. If you're trying to help somebody in their path, whether it's a teacher, whether it's, somebody else you're working with, whether it's your own child, whether it's your spouse, the way to motivate them is not just to dump everything that they're doing wrong in their face. Tell them all the places they're wrong and then expect them to go off and just fix them all immediately. That doesn't motivate people. What does that do? It does the opposite. You feel like, well, forget it. There's no use. I'm not going to fix anything. You know, God's just as smart as us. He's way smarter. I mean, at least as smart. If we can figure that out, don't you think God knows that? Do you realize God could reveal everything that's wrong with all of us right now? And we would all just say, okay, forget it. But you know, he doesn't do that. He just deals with you on something and says, son, daughter, just do this. You know, when Jesus said, a gentleman came to him and said, you know, I've done all the statutes from my youth. And Jesus looked at him and said, one thing you lack. You think that was the only thing wrong with him? But he pointed out just one thing. Just focus on this guy. Well, but there's all this stuff. Jesus will always say, just fix this one. Yeah, but God, I got it. You know, you can't focus on 15 things at once. Anybody ever tried? You drop every single one of them. But if you just, see, this is why we got to be very careful about looking at somebody else and thinking we know how to fix them. You don't know what they're dealing with. I don't know what everybody's dealing with. You don't know how they got there, but you know what God does. So you might think this is your problem. That's not their problem. That might be one of their problems, but their real problem is way over here. You're just seeing the symptom, and you try to focus on that, it's not going to get fixed. But God knows. And he knows the order in which we need to attack things. And so he'll tell you, son, daughter, work on this. And you think, but I got all these things. No, just work on this. Because if you get that solid, now you go to the next thing. He'll deal with you now work on this. But if we just think, man, I got all these things, I'm so imperfect, well, welcome to the club. Amen. You don't understand, I'm so messed. Well, what good is that going to do? That's not going to help. That's not going to get us out. That's not going to bring us up. If we focus on the wrong thing all the time, that's how depression comes. It doesn't matter what form, what you're focusing on. No person can focus on the negative all the time and stay strong. You can't. But if we'll look at the things, what is going well for us? Well, if you're saved, there's a good one right there. I'm not going to hell. I am in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am in the family of Almighty God. Whatever's going on right now, it's going to be short-lived, and I'm going to be in heaven worshiping with angels soon and very soon. Amen. Huh? Amen. That's a good thing. And if that's the only thing you think that's going well, just stay there and focus on that. Whatever is going on, it's not going to last forever on this earth. It just won't, by definition, because you're not going to last forever. I'm not going to last forever. So let's not look at the negative. Let's not focus on, let's focus on what we do know. Well, I just don't know what to do in this situation. Well, if you keep saying that, you're not going to get any more light. You're not going to find out. We're not going to get further. But if we say, focus on what we do know. Well, I do know. You can talk about salvation. I do know God led me here. I do know how He did this in my life. I do know this is true. I do know the Word says this. That's the right thing to focus on, because now you're focusing on light. You're not focusing on the darkness. When you focus on the light, more light will come. And we'll get to where we need to be. Nobody ever grew just focusing on the negatives and the darkness and all the things that are wrong. That won't help you to grow. That'll actually, you'll stagnate and go backwards. And that's just human nature. So Jesus Himself grew strong when He was walking on this earth, grew strong in spirit. Let's look up at Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That's your heart. That's your spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Notice that to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So it's not just head, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you're filled with all the fullness of God, you are going to be strong. Well, look at partly what it says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. As we know His love, what He's done for us, who He is to us, that encourages us and brings us up and helps us to do what we're supposed to do in every area. But this passage here, it's saying, he's praying that these people would be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. So we've been talking about being strong in spirit. Being strong in spirit. Or being spiritual. Talking about what that means and ways that comes. You have to feed on the truth. The truth is the Word. The Word is light. It's life. It's truth. If you feed on something else, it may look good, but it won't stand up under the pressures of life. It might stand up on some of the things, but ultimately it'll falter. But the Word, the true Word of God, will not. And we talked about that spent some time on that. Go back and listen to those messages if you missed them. It's important that we get the right things in. But look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. These are, you're just kind of reviewing, getting us all going in the same direction. We're going to touch on what we covered last week, or 2 weeks ago actually it was. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Now notice this verse here. He says, I could not speak to you as to spiritual. That's what we're talking about. We want to be spiritual. We want to be strong in spirit. And we've been talking about just recently, what does that mean? Well, look at here. He said, I wanted to speak to you as spiritual, but he says, I could not. I can't. He said, I had to speak to you as carnal or natural. And then notice the next phrase, as to babes in Christ. And what does this tell us? Being carnal or natural is being immature or babyish spiritually. I'll say that again. If we're carnal, naturally minded, we're going to look at that a little bit, that's immature spiritually. We're talking about being strong or mature spiritually. But this gives us a picture here. He said, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to somebody that's spiritual. Well, that would be somebody that's strong in spirit. And then he contrasts it. See, if I couldn't speak to you as somebody that's spiritual, then that means you're something else. And then he says what that something else is. He says, I had to speak to you as somebody that's carnal. So he's contrasting carnal or natural and spiritual. And then he says, I had to speak to you as babes. Or somebody said babies. What does that mean? He's saying, I couldn't speak to you as somebody spiritual, mature, but I had to speak to you as a baby. And he equates baby with natural, naturally focused, carnal. So this is very telling. Now, people have different ideas about what it means to be spiritual then. Now, we get a glimpse here, and we're going to cover some of this, that if you're not spiritual, you're carnal. But people have a different idea sometimes, through various reasons, I guess, of what spiritual means. What does it mean to be spiritual? Now, I'm going to touch on some of the things we covered last week. We're going to go a little bit further. Look at, why don't you go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. There is so much here. You guys believe with me that we'll get it out in the right order, because there is so much going on here that we could cover. We'll take all the time we need to. First Corinthians 12, let's go to 27. These are on your sheet too. Would you go ahead and turn there? It says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. He's talking to Christians. That's us. These epistles or letters in the New Testament, they're written to believers. These are the letters we should focus on as new believers. The Old Testament, you do not neglect your Old Testament. Do not throw it away and say, well, that doesn't apply. No, the Old Testament is understood in light of the new. There are still things, a lot, that are examples for it. For us and applicable, and of course, you know, that includes the Psalms and the Proverbs. The Gospels are in the New Testament in your Bible, but they're really the twilight between the old and the new, because Jesus was coming, instituting anew, and that's the account of how that happened. But the epistles, the letters in the New Testament, are written to us as believers, and that's where we should focus. We need a complete diet, but that's what we need to focus on. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, we covered some of that last week. I'm not going to repeat everything we said. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, he says, he's talking about the fivefold ministry. They're all covered here. The apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, that's the evangelist. Don't have time to go through this again, but helps, administration, varieties of tongues, that's the pastor's ministry. But are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? He's talking about the ministry gift of tongues. not just speaking in tongues is your own personal gift. Do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best gifts. He's talking about these, the gifts, the ministry gifts, and then some of the gifts that go with that. But he said, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, good, let's keep going in 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So we talked about this, touched on this last week. We're going to recap a little bit. There's an understanding sometimes that if you flow in the gifts of the Spirit, what would people call the power of God, or that you are able to, those are able to be manifested through you at a time, you must be spiritual. Now, if you are flowing with them consistently, I'm not saying that you're not, that we're not spiritual. Ideal is we're spiritual and we are flowing with these things. But just because an individual has some of these things manifested in their life does not mean they're spiritual. When we got into this, I'm just going to recap. Spiritual people flow with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. The Bible says, we'll read this in a minute, God is love. Now notice, we're just going to let the Scripture speak for itself. Flush any preconceived ideas or any religion, and let's just read what the Bible says. Go back to verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So he's saying, though I'm speaking with the tongue of men and of angels, so you could be preaching, could be speaking in other tongues, but I don't have love, I'm just noise. It's not saying that you're, well, that means you're super spiritual. No, it says if you don't do it with love, that means it becomes noise. You say, well, how could you speak? I mean, talking about speaking with power here, how could that be? But how could you do that without love? What the Bible says you could. Evidently, it's possible. Let's go to verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. See, people, as we're getting into this, there's sometimes a misunderstanding that if somebody is flowing with these things, that's a mature person. No, that just means you're flowing, you hooked up with something spiritual. Do you realize God wants to bless people in the earth, and he'll use anybody that yields to him? He's used a donkey before. Is the donkey the epitome of spirituality? No. But God will use anybody that'll yield to him. Just because somebody yields to him, see, they could yield to God 1 minute and yield to the devil the next. You say, how is that possible? Peter did it. 1 minute he's saying God, Jesus is the Christ. The next minute, Jesus is rebuking him because he's telling Jesus what to do and basically don't follow the will of God, and he doesn't even realize he's yielding to the devil. And we've all done it. I said, we've all done it. I'm not saying the devil himself is sitting on your shoulder. But you were yielding to the enemy. We're yielding to thoughts that are not from God. We got to watch this. When you're dealing with your spouse, when you're dealing with your children, when you're dealing with somebody, we don't want to be a conduit for the devil to knock them down. They don't need to hear everything wrong about them. And you can be speaking encouragement 1 minute and you flat out yield to the enemy the next minute and be beating somebody up with our words. So it's very possible. That's no different, really, than somebody yielding to the gifts of the Spirit because God wants to do something. Somebody yields, and the next minute they walk out of here and they're completely in the flesh. You say, how is that possible? How is it possible that we could yield to the Spirit of God and be encouraging somebody and the next minute beating them up? How is that possible? Well, it happens every single day. We know exactly how it's possible because every single one of us has done it. Right? We've all missed it. It's just like that. Just because you yield to something that's godly does not mean we're spiritually mature. That we're strong. So, it's saying somebody could have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries. Notice how this is not just you have a little bit of something. This is walking in power, right? This isn't, look at the language. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I don't have love, I am not just, well, it was all pretty good. It just, you know, takes a few notches down. It says, I'm nothing. We look at this language because this will show us what God's priorities are. It's not a lot of times what men go woo at. What God is impressed at is not the same thing that men are, or not the same things that men are impressed at. Men are impressed a lot of times, all of us, at the wrong things. And look over the things that are actually truly meaningful to the Lord. To the Lord. Look at the next verse. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now we're getting into people supporting, you know, giving money and helping the poor and doing what we would call good works. Surely God's going to be impressed with that. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, just liquidate and give it away. Surely that is impressive to the Lord, and that's what He would want. And though I give my body to be burned, a martyr, but have not love, it profits me nothing. You say, how can that be? Are we reading the Bible? Let's just let the Bible speak for itself. It's not saying it just makes it of a little less value. It says it's nothing. What's the theme we just read through these things? Love, if it's not motivated by love, it's not the right thing. You could do the right thing, not motivated by love, and it becomes the wrong thing. So we cannot determine spirituality by these things. We can't determine somebody is spiritual because any of these things, well, they're surely spiritual. Look at how much they give. They're surely spiritual. Look at their faith. Look, they're surely spiritual. Look at the way they flow with prophecy. Look at their spiritual. They speak with the tongue of angels. They speak with power. According to these verses, not necessarily. Now we're going to talk about, we covered some of this last week, love. Skip down to verse 13, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. It says, Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now let's go look on your sheet at Romans 13. We're going to read some of these that we read last time. We're going further, but I want to lay some of this as we're going in this next part. Romans 13, verse 8. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now we're talking about being spiritual. For the law, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. He who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now look at, we're going to see several things that talk about this. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Notice, he's talking about good things, but tender mercies, kindness, humility, long-suffering, bear with one another. He said, above all these things, put on love. Put on love. 1 Timothy 1 says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. The purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. So the commandments and what this is saying, the purpose is love. We just read that love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is pinnacle. James 2, verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. You do well. The royal law of love. Love is what is the pinnacle of everything. We just read these spiritual, quote unquote, things that moving with the power of God, etc., if they're not motivated by love, it doesn't mean anything. Love is overall. Love is called the fulfillment of the law. That means you love, you're actually doing everything you're supposed to do in the new covenant. And it, this law, lest anybody think, well, that's just a piece of cake. Look what we just read in 1 Corinthians. The stuff that people think would be really good, if it's not love, it's nothing. Don't ever think, well, we got it easy in the new covenant. The law of love trumps everything in the old covenant. You walk by love, you will not murder your neighbor if you love them. You won't get mad at them. So we saw this when Jesus spoke. He said, you say not to murder. He goes, I say if you call somebody a name angrily, you've already committed murder. That's a higher standard. He said, law says not to commit adultery. He said, if you look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery. Love won't do that. We're talking about a higher standard. Go ahead and look at 1 John, chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. Praise God. Now, we said at the beginning, right? All of us have work to do. Is that right?
Yes.
So don't let this be like, oh no. This is good news.
Amen.
Where we're going is very, very good news.
Amen.
Because God has given us the ability to do this. And it's not looking like what a lot of people think.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they think, forget it, I can't do church. No, nobody can do. When you talk about do church, if you're talking about do religion, well, you don't want that anyway. If you're talking about live a Christian life, you can't do that in and of yourself. You have to do that with the power of God.
Amen.
And what we're talking about, we're identifying, what does that mean? What does it look like? What does a spiritual person look like? And it's not what a lot of people think it is. The good news is, it's not what a lot of people think it is. So there's a lot of stuff that maybe people think that they have to do that actually isn't spiritual to begin with. It's actually religion. Well, I could never do this. Well, maybe you don't have to. Maybe we've had a misunderstanding. Look at 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Does not say God loves. He does love, but it says God is love. He is love. This is the nature of God. It motivates everything he does. Jesus walked in complete love on the earth. Now, he flowed in the gifts of the Spirit, but he did it in love. But he also did a lot of other stuff. Look at, let's pick up there. Verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Notice that. We're supposed to live through him. We're not trying to earn something. We want to live the life that we live. Galatians said we live now by faith in the Son of God, by his power, not through us, not just in our moral muscle. Verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, notice, love is not what you do. It's what you, it's how you're looking at things. It's not us doing something from God. It's saying that God did something for us when we didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it. We deserved hell. But he did it anyway. He made the way anyway. He said, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us, matured, come to fruition. See, if you're flowing like God, there is no higher compliment than to say you're acting like Jesus. Like God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if we're walking like him and walking in love, that means we're matured. A spiritual person will act like God, will behave like him. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. He's given us of his Spirit. He's given us of his Spirit. There is a Spirit. When we say certain things, we want to identify and do certain things. What's the Spirit behind it? What is motivating us? When the sharp word wants to come out of your mouth, ask yourself, where's that coming from? What am I yielding to? Is it the love of God? Is it the power of God that I have in me, that the Spirit of God, or is it something else? The more we yield to the love of God, which is the Spirit of God, we're going to see that, the more spiritual we are. The stronger we are in spirit. That means our spirit is dictating what we do in our life versus our flesh, versus the unrenewed part of our mind. Now let's go ahead and turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Now let's read verse 13. Now, this goes with some of the stuff we just read before, and but I wanted to use this as a segue. Galatians 5:13. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Same thing we just read in a number of other scriptures. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So look at verse 13. You, brethren, have been called to liberty. We are called to be free. We're called to walk in freedom in God. But he says, do not use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Now we started out in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, I'll just read it to you. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, "I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." He said, "I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual people, but I had to speak to you as to a baby, as to somebody who's carnal." Now, we're going to see some of that right here. What is that referring to? Because love is going to be yielding to your spirit, because God is love. Before we go forward, let's read this. Hold your place in Galatians. I want you to see this before we go. Just hold in Galatians. Look on your sheet, and could you please put up Romans 5? Romans 5, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, or we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces patience, and perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Okay? Where's our heart? We talked about this. Our heart is our spirit. It's not talking about your blood pump. The love of God is not sitting in your physical heart. It's in your spirit. Now, we spent some time talking about spirit, soul, and body. Can't recap on that. But we did that so that we could see our spirit is what we're talking about being spiritual. We're talking about yielding to our spirit. Our spirit being the preeminent part of our being that dictates what the other parts are going to do. Now, you can see here the love of God has been poured out where? In our hearts. By the Holy Spirit. The love of God. God is love. His love has been given to us as Christians. So we can't say we don't have it. We can't say that's just unattainable. The things we're about to read in Galatians, we have the ability to act in this love of God, which is what Jesus flowed in. We want to be like him. To be like him, we're going to need to yield to his love. Anything else that we do that's not love is not acting like him. It's not flowing with the Spirit of God, so it's yielding to something else, but that's not spiritual. Because spiritual is going to mean the spirit of a person dictates what's going to happen in that person's life. That means your spirit tells your flesh what to do. Your spirit dictates how you're going to think, renewed by the Word of God. But we have the love of God poured out, but we have to yield to it. And it's gonna, the voice of the Spirit is going to be weak if we don't feed it, which is what we talked about earlier. But you could be weak and yield to something that was the Spirit of God for a moment. You could yield to a prophecy or something. That doesn't mean your spirit is strong and dictating what's going on in your life. It just means you yielded for a moment. Now let's go back over to Galatians, where you guys should be there. Look on your sheet. Galatians 5, and we're going to go to verse 16. Praise God. You guys okay? Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, now we just read, let's go back to verse 13 and just read the verses we just read, and then we'll go into 16. It says, for brethren, you have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Notice that. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Now verse 16. I say then. So he just got done saying, you're not supposed to use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. He just got done saying you're supposed to instead, through love, serve one another. So he said, don't do this, do this. And then he said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, I say then, which is connecting it to what he just said. He said, because of what I just said, I'm going to say this. He says, walk in the Spirit. Now in these verses here, you're going to see the word Spirit. That word is pneuma in the Greek. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but you can look up these words and see how they're used in various parts. This is the word that's translated spirit, but it says nothing about if it's capitalized or not. That's dictated on by the context. But look in this and just walk through it and think with me. Look at the context. And see if we can tell what this is referring to. Now, like I said, there's no definitive, but this will help us if we can see, I believe, how this is actually reading. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, you're walking in the Spirit. Spirit, we know that God is love. He shed the love of God abroad in our hearts, which is our spirit. We know that love is the fulfillment of all the law. So that is righteousness. We have our righteousness through Jesus, but we're talking about living and walking things out on a day-to-day basis. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Now you see that. If that is the Holy Spirit, if it's capital, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, well, it's against what the Spirit of God would say, but look at the next part. And the Spirit against the flesh. Well, the Holy Spirit's not necessarily coming against your flesh. Your spirit needs to push against your flesh, though. And we'll say a little bit more about, you know, the way this is operating here. But the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things you wish. Notice, every person has experienced this. You know what you should do, but you yield to your flesh and you end up doing the thing you don't want to do. Now, if that happens all the time, the more that we yield to our flesh, the more carnal we're operating. The more we operate according to our spirit, which would be according to the love of God, and there's other things we're going to see, other fruit of the Spirit, but love is the primary way and will dictate all these other things. If you walk in love, you will walk in these other things. The more you walk according to your spirit, the more spiritual you are. The definition of spiritual being the part of your being that dictates what you do. If your flesh is dictating what we do, and anything my flesh says, I do it. That means I'm carnal. That means I'm natural. And what did we read in 1 Corinthians? That means I'm a baby. That means I'm not mature. The more carnal I am, the less mature spiritually I am. So it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Next verse. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now look at this. If you're led, this is the way you should operate under the new covenant. Led by the Spirit. That means you're not under the law. Doing what the Spirit of God would tell you in any situation, which is going to be according to love. Because if you're walking according to love, you have already fulfilled the law. But being led by the Spirit in every situation, that's not dumbing things down. That is walking as a superset of any other code. Like we saw, these other verses that we've already covered. Walking in love is at a higher level. No, not just that you don't say you don't kill somebody, you don't even say the wrong thing to them. It just went. And if our spirit is telling us to do one thing and our flesh is telling us to do another thing, that's where we find out our spirituality, because what are we going to yield to? Now, we may yield to the flesh, but we snap back and say, that was wrong. Forgive me. Okay. That's how we undo it. I mean, there might be some consequences depending on what it is. You can't put words back, you know, away. But the more we yield to our heart, the more spiritual we're acting. The more spiritual we're being. So if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Go to the next verse. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Now notice this. He's going to tell us, what does it look like? What does a carnal person look like? This means we're yielding to the flesh. I want you to notice what's here, because a lot of times people say, now there could be a spirit motivating certain things, but look at all the stuff that's actually listed as a work of the flesh. Doesn't say anything about some spiritual influence. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, that's sexual perversion, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Surely that's just your yielding to the devil himself. This calls it a work of the flesh. I'm not saying you couldn't yield to a demon, but it's fleshly. How do you get into it? Do you realize that stuff that's devilish is very carnal and fleshly? No kind of godliness. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred. That's not yielding to the Spirit of God. That's yielding to the flesh. Do you realize you could act in hate and it is purely a flesh fit? You're mad. If you're calling a kid, a little, you know, a one-year-old, two-year-old, they're throwing a fit. Well, people throw fits even when they're above 2 years old, above 20 years old, above 40, 50. You can throw a fit at any age. But this is the flesh. If we're yielding to this stuff, I don't care what other kind of things we have operating in our life, we're acting carnal. And to the degree that we yield to our spirit is the degree which we act spiritual, which is the degree we walk in love and the fruit of the Spirit, which we'll see in a minute. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, got to have my way, arguing, flesh. Whenever we see arguing and getting it, I just want to get in there, we should say, baby, I'm acting like a baby right now, got to have my way. Well, no, I really want to get in there. We got to tell them, baby, I'm being a big baby. Jealousies, oh, I just can't, I'm jealous. Baby. Yeah, but then, you know, you flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Baby, carnal, not doing it in love. Love doesn't get jealous. Love is not just going to get in there and mess stuff up and get contentious. Love is not going to hate. Ooh, but look at this and that. the stuff we talked about in 1 Corinthians. No, this is talking about being carnal, which is being not spiritual. Outbursts of wrath, just having a fit, unglued. Could you get unglued and still yield to the Spirit of God? Yes, you could. Now, the more you do that, the less sensitive you're going to be to the Spirit of God. But it's kind of like this. Somebody said it like this. If you always have your antenna up to spiritual things, and some people, they're always just picking up spiritual, you're going to pick up all kinds of junk, and once in a while, you're going to be on the God channel. So you're just yielding to everything. You see, that's why you can see, somebody could be actually very carnal, yielding to all kinds of nuts stuff, and then every once in a while, they actually tune in the Spirit of God, and you're like, my goodness, that's, I heard one person telling, they knew this person was completely backslidden and just in a really bad place, and they were in a certain meeting, and somehow this guy, is a minister, I think, that had gotten into some stuff he shouldn't have, and somehow he was there, and somehow this guy started prophesying, and this guy said he heard him, and he had his eyes closed, and he knew it was, and he could tell in his spirit, he's yielding to the Spirit of God, and he opened his eyes and looked at the person. I said, how can that be? And he closed his eyes. He's like, yep, that's the voice that gives me my sermons, and that's the Spirit of God. Amen. And he looks at the guy again. He's like, because you can yield to the wrong thing, but you can yield to the right thing. That doesn't mean everything the person's doing is right. And in general, if you're walking down that path of carnality, it's going to destroy a person. And has. So jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. Got to be what I want. I'm going after something and I'm trying to get seen and I want, my stuff. Flesh. Dissensions, heresies, flesh. It's all flesh. Envy, murders, drunkenness, work of the flesh. Revelries, super parties and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't want to go down the path of getting hardened. Go to the next one. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. Just think, not being dogmatic at all, but just think about it. Not saying it has to be one way or another, but just think about it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Stay there. Let me ask you a question. Where does the fruit grow on a tree? Branches? The outer? Does it grow on the trunk usually? What did Jesus say? I'm the vine, you are the what? And he that abides in me will bear much fruit. So, like I said, not being dogmatic about it, but just look at this. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, sure, but it just got done talking about all the stuff you do in your or my flesh. So it's not inconsistent at all to think, it says all the stuff of the flesh is X, but then all the fruit of the Spirit could easily read of the human born again spirit, small s, is love, joy, peace, long suffering, these things. See, this, when it talks about earlier about the flesh warring against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, this is talking about what you're dealing with and I'm dealing with every day. Spiritual person, this is going to win. Carnal person, that previous list is going to win. The more we walk in this, the more spiritual we are. Notice love is at the front of the list. It doesn't mean, love is God's nature. And you notice in that other there's another list we read, it listed several of these, but it said, above all, put on love. Not trying to negate these other things, not saying, love, these other things are not important. Love, though, 1 Corinthians said, love never fails. Above these, love. So God is love. You can't get higher than that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. I mean, if you're walking in love, we'll get to it soon. We'll look at the definition of love kind of in detail. You're going to be kind. You're going to be. The Bible says love bears all things. It'll bear up under everything. Well, that's long-suffering with people. Goodness, faithfulness. You go to the next one. Gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. There isn't any law against these things. These are all good. These are all good. This is flowing with the Spirit of God. This is being spiritual. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This love that we're talking about, this is in us. So when we look at that last list, and so you see all those lists of everything that you could do in the flesh, the thing that's going to our spirit has been filled by the Holy Spirit. And we can choose to let that dictate what's going on in our life. And just shut down that first list. Stuff like that rises up that we just push it down. And that's a person that's strong in spirit. Amen.